While in the break, Lino gave hockey a try. They asked him if he needed a stick, but he just used his nose.
It is the Catholic Guy Show in Toronto, Ontario. It's funny, you know, this morning at my hotel, I woke up, I went to the hotel gym. Hello, I'm Hotel Jim. And I get in there, and honest to God, the TV has hockey playing. You know you're in Canada when it's July, and I don't even know what that, well, I don't even know what's, I mean, I know the sport, of course. I didn't even pay attention to what the game was. I was very busy benching my 35 pounds on each side, so I didn't have a chance to. Father Tom Rosica, you live here in Toronto. How long you lived in Toronto for?
I've been here now for 21 years, this stint. I came back from my graduate studies in 1994. Prior to that, I was 3 years in theology for my master's here in Toronto, then 2 years in southwestern Ontario, across from Detroit. So 21 plus 3 is 24, plus 2... 26 years.
See, look at us Catholics are sometimes bad with the math. 3 plus 1 in the Godhead. I mean, these sort of things are complicated, but good job. You did all the math correctly. You're the CEO of Salt and Light Catholic Media Foundation. People can find out at saltandlighttv.org. The English language assistant to the Holy See Press Office, which means now you're important. I mean, now you're somebody, right?
No, it means that I sleep less now. That I have to keep my hours according to Rome's hours, and we're 6 hours apart, so I don't need a lot of sleep.
That's good. But, I mean, you're constantly, something's going on all the time,
with
right?
Pope Francis, Mamma Mia.
There's always something where then that you have to explain or defend or rationalize or anything else.
Clarify.
That's clarify. The word we're looking for. You're always having to do, so are you a hockey player? Is that just a stereotype?
I just watch it once in a while.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's expensive to go here.
It's expensive to play hockey in
Canada? No, to go to the hockey game here, it's very expensive.
Oh, well, of course it is, because everybody wants to go. Everybody, by the way, what's a bigger sport here? Hockey or curling? Canadians love curling,
They do
right?
both, yes. But hockey is quite the big draw. The Maple Leafs here, the Montreal Canadiens. And it's a pretty big thing in Canada.
Yeah, I always get the biggest kick. I feel very comfortable here. Thank God it's not actually cold. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's like 90 degrees and humid. Not exactly the Canadian weather that you expect.
Get your heart out. This will last for 2 days, and then we have snow on Friday.
Because this is it. There's no other way to get around it. Now, now we're going to do a segment here we've not done in a while. I always used to do this segment, especially with priests I didn't know very well. In this case, you're going to be a priest who people are familiar with because you're on TV a lot, Salt and Light, of course. But is CNN, is that the number one place you are most often? Seriously, CNN?
No, I deal with the English language network, so it varies. The American networks, Australia, England, BBC, CNN.
But who takes you the most? What do you think appearance-wise? I think you've racked up more CNN appearances than anything.
CNN has been quite a bit, and CBS and ABC and Al Jazeera, for example, and BBC.
Salam alaikum.
Hello,
Al Jazeera. Hello. Who do you like the most? I mean, between you and me.
No, I can't say
no,
that.
Of course you can.
No.
Who do you like the most?
Each of them has some wonderful people working for them. And fortunately, the job that I've had now the past 2 years has brought me in touch with some wonderful people.
Who do you like the least, then, if you won't tell me who you like the most?
I enjoy working with all of them.
Oh, come on. You're not a politician.
I really enjoy working with them. What I appreciate very much is when they do their homework. And the quality of people I'm dealing with, the level of people I deal with, are not the fly-by-nights. These are very serious people and extremely thoughtful.
Do we like Christiane Amanpour? You do a lot of TV with her, I know.
She's on my speed dial, and I'm on her speed dial.
Yeah, so we like her. Other.
She's a nice lady, yes.
Okay.
She's very good. She's very competent.
I know you like Scott Pelley a lot at CBS.
He's wonderful.
He's wonderful. Who if one of them, you could only be on one of their airwaves, who would it be?
It's difficult to say, because when they call, it's often something serious. They're intelligent. You know, I look at it this way. I'd like to have the suave, gentlemanly kindness of Scott Pelley, the brilliance and attentiveness of Anderson Cooper, the warmth of Diane Sawyer, although she's no longer there, now she's retired, the goodness of Ann Curry, used to be at NBC, a woman who's really passionate about the Pope and about mercy. And so many others in the different networks. They're really remarkable. And, of course, Stephen Colbert, who who will soon make his new apparition, his appearance. We have a big interview coming on with Stephen Colbert in September.
Oh, tell me about Stephen. I've had a chance to meet him before. What's your impression? Well, first of all, what's your impression of Stephen Colbert? How will he do in the late night format? Because everybody I know says, Leno, I don't know how it's going to work with him because he did the character for so many years. Can he break out of the character? Father Tom, you know him. What do you think?
The interview I did with him, the witness interview, which is a really big thing, it's going to air on the eve of the new night show in September. We buried the old character. It was like the funeral ceremony for the old character. Stephen Colbert is an incredible, competent, Catholic, funny.
By the way, I wish I was a competent Catholic. By the way, I'm not even a competent.
There,
yeah,
there.
Thank you.
No, he's a lot of young people say he's the top of the line, and they may be right about that. But we had one of the most reasonable, fun conversations ever. The other day we were editing the interview and I said, wow, this is very good. There's a lot of depth there. I mean, this is a very good Catholic man.
Yeah, no, I know. Now, do you think he's got patience and does he has perseverance? Because I hate to speak out of turn here, but I think he's never going to be Jimmy Fallon in the ratings. I think the American appetite for games and song parodies is higher than what Colbert is going to offer on CBS.
Which might be sad.
I think
there's a place for what he's going to do on the late night show. Late night show, I think it's called that. There's a place
Well, it's
for
called
that.
The Late Show, isn't it?
The Late Show,
he took
me.
Over Letterman, sure.
Yeah, The Late Show, sorry. Because I'm usually in bed by that time. Anyway, I promised him, though, I'm going to start watching it.
Now, up here in Canada, do you guys get all of that, or do you have your own versions of that?
Oh, no, we have it. Yeah, and in French, they have their versions. C'est très tard. That's what they call it.
Too late? That's very late.
C'est très, très tard show.
Very, very late show. Yeah. See, the little French I understand. Now, do they do... either subtitles or do they dub
no,
in?
No.
So they don't dub in?
They don't dub in. No.
They don't dub A?
No, thank God they don't fool around with that.
So they don't do a joke and then have a Canadian go, A? At the end of the joke.
No, take off, you hoser. You know, something like
That'd
that.
Be funny though, wouldn't it? If Colbert goes and does his joke and he says, you know, Donald Trump is in the news today, and then you hear a Canadian voice go,
A? Know, another gentleman, a real class act is George Stephanopoulos from ABC. Recently, we did an interview with him for Salt and Light Television. We're very fortunate. You are very fortunate in the United States. In those key positions are some of the most competent journalists, very good human beings. And I must say, since the conclave and since the election of Pope Francis, these folks have really tuned in for the right reasons. What CNN did, for example, over the papal visit to South America the past days was truly remarkable. It was often the lead story.
Really?
Not only that, in the writing part, the print part of CNN, the great website, Daniel Burke from Religion Today, Religion CNN, and his whole team. And
am I a bad person? I've never read any of this
Jake
stuff.
Jake Tapper and his crew, these are very good people.
Now,
they're doing their job.
Now, Father Tom Rosica, then the next question would be, because a lot what people will oftentimes ask me is they'll say, Leno, there's a bias, and there are bias against the church and everything else. Now, you're the... You're the English language assistant to the Holy See Press Office, and yet you're saying all of these complimentary things about journalists.
There's no question that in some areas of media and of journalism, there are clear biases. There's editorial lines. Fortunately, the people with whom I've been dealing the past couple years are doing their job to tell the truth, to serve the cause of truth, of decency, of recognizing human beings for who they are. And I think they recognize in Pope Francis somebody who walks his talk and somebody who walks the walk.
Am I bad luck the fact that when I was on CNN for the conclave, I've told this story many times only because it's self-deprecating enough that it's not totally my fault. But, you know, in the run-up to the conclave, for primetime, remember there was a guy named Piers Morgan who had a show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was Piers Morgan's Rome guy, right?
Yeah.
Should I take it personally offensive that he no longer is on the air? Was that my fault?
He's gone to his happy reward.
No, he's not dead.
He's not. No, he's got something else. Okay.
But I feel bad that he's not there, and then I also feel bad because that used to be my main spot there.
Make some more friends.
Huh?
Make some more friends at CNN.
I got to make new friends.
Yeah. Get to know people. Get to know
people. Who do you want me to get to know over there?
Oh, I can't do that. I can tell you. I have very good contacts and colleagues. Friends and colleagues, I call them. You see, in the whole business of media, when we treat people decently and provide answers and have the humility to say, I don't know, but I'll get back to you, we receive lots of cooperation. And every now and then when they get something wrong, I'll let them know that. But many times I'll call them and say, thanks for what you just did. That's a very good point.
Maybe that's the reason why I don't, maybe why Piers doesn't last is because he would ask me a question and I'd go, Piers, I don't know. And he'd go, well, what do I have you on the TV then?
He was very good on CNN. He did great work over the time of the conclave, and now he's got something else.
See, now with Father Tom Rosica, he knows how to answer a question. You see, he's sort of political. He's polite. He makes sure everybody's friends. He makes sure everybody gets along.
No.
Let's see if he can do that in our next segment, which is called Seven Deadly Questions.
Oh, dear God.
Seven Deadly Questions. Deadly question number one.
I like this with Priest. We haven't done this in a while. We're going to return this segment. If you got a tattoo, because I presume you don't have one.
No.
What would you get a tattoo of?
I don't like tattoos.
No, but for
some
reason...
If I was going to get one, I'd get a little cross and a very discreet part of my body.
Well, what part is that discreet?
On an arm, upper arm, or you know, in Egypt, I found it very interesting with the Coptic Christians especially, how many times I worked with them and did different things, and the minute they saw that I was a priest or heard that I was a priest, they'd show their wrist to you because they had a little tattoo of a cross on their wrist. That's the Christian symbol. And I think if ever I was to get one, I'd probably get it here on my wrist in solidarity with them in Egypt.
Oh, you're right, because I've been able to be, I've gone to Egypt a few times as well.
They're very proud. They'll show you their wrist, and right away you know, Messiah. Yeah, I'm from the Messiah, literally, the word for Christian. I'm the Messiah. I'm a Christian.
I found that
as a wonderful sign. That's the only tattoo I would ever think of, but now, I'm not going to get one.
I've got some friends in the Palestinian territories as well, and for some of the Christians there, they do the same thing on their arms or their forearms their wrists. That's a good place for a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Father Tom Rosica, you're here to say you're going to get a tattoo of a cross on your wrist.
If ever the opportunity arose or there was a necessity for it or I was being put against the wall to get a tattoo, that would be the only place.
Now,
but I have no intention of getting a tattoo.
What TV network would you give that exclusive to? Would you go to CBS? Would you go to ABC? Would you go to NBC? Would you give that to CNN? Would you give it to BBC? Who would get to see
this?
The
first one would be the Catholic Guy show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that would be the only one.
Now, what do you think Pope Francis, would he roll your eyes at you if he heard?
I would never raise my arm and show my wrist like that. I'd shake his hand.
That rumor would get out quick, right?
For those who are interested in such banal things, yes.
That's all people are interested in, is banal things. So you'd get a tattoo of a cross. Crucifix or cross?
A cross on one of my wrists.
I like it. You see, don't be surprised. You see Father Tom in the months to come here, suddenly he's got a little discreet tattoo on his wrist. It's the Catholic Guy Show. It's Seven Deadly Questions. Let's go.
Deadly question number two.
You knew John Paul II very well. What is your favorite memory of John Paul II?
I had the privilege of being up close with him and even working with him as we prepared for World Youth Day 2002. And perhaps the favorite memory was when he was here in Toronto for the World Youth Day. And it was the day of the great rally, the opening ceremony. It was Thursday, July 25th. 2002. We had 350,000 young people at Exhibition Place. It was a grandiose, glorious ceremony. We had the flags of all the nations. It was like the opening of the Olympic Games or the Pan Am Games. And it was like breathtaking. And at the end of the ceremony, I was accompanying him back to the helicopter because he was going back up to Strawberry Island, his little hideaway when he was here. And I remember him saying, "Even the wind cooperated with you today." Whoa, I said, that's there were wonderful moments. And then, of course, at the end, in the final years, because he was sick when he was here, he was very weak, but I saw him five times after the World Youth Day, right up until the year before he died. I was at his birthday party.
Wait. You went to John Paul II's birthday party?
It was
party?
A little Polish celebration. My mom was with me. We were invited there, and It was a wonderful moment, and my mother was
having... Wait, get out of here. You got to tell this story, right? No. Nobody gets invited to a Pope's birthday
party. It was a small celebration. We're huffing and puffing up the stairs. My mother said, I'm going to die here. I said, Mom, you're not going to die. Go slowly. I got a big bouquet of flowers, and I said, Mom, when I introduce you to the Pope, and she says, yeah, there'll be millions of people. I said, Mom, it's just a small gathering. So we walked upstairs, got to the top in the Apostolic Palace, went into this room. There were about 50 or 60 people, mostly Poles. And there was the Pope. So I took my mother over and I said, Santita, Santo Padre, questa è la mia mamma. And he looks up and he says, che giovane madre, what a young mother. My mother said, I love that man. I'm staying here. I said, Mom, no, give him the flower. And there was a wonderful embrace.
Now, here's what people want to know. How does Father Tom Rosica get an invitation? Who calls? Who invites? Is it a piece of paper? Is it a phone call? Is it an email? How do you get invited to a guy's birthday party?
When you did the World Youth Day, you got to know a lot of the people with him and his household, and that's how it happened.
And it was in Rome. It was in Rome.
It was May of 2004, and we had been there for the canonization of St. John Amola, our patron, and I was simply told that tomorrow, the Pope's birthday was May the 18th, there's una piccola festa, una festacciola.
A little small party.
Yeah, and so it was a lovely celebration. And my mom...
Did you get nervous? Are you nervous at that moment in time?
No.
Really?
No. This was a wonderful man. It was a father figure for me, a great man. And especially, you know, here was the great athlete when I was in university, the athlete, the mountain climber, the swimmer, escaping on Tuesdays to go to the mountains for those little jaunts and stuff. And in the end... The very things for which he was known and loved, the speech, the writing, the encyclicals, the mobility, the youthfulness, he was stripped of everything. He was reduced terribly. And I really think and I believe that it was when he lost all of those qualities, when he couldn't even talk, that he gave the most powerful witness. And that witness marked me. It was 10 years ago now. That witness marked me significantly in my life and touched many people.
But it was his birthday. What were the options? Were you and your mom thinking, well, should we get him a festive party hat? Should we get him socks? Like, did you go down a list of things?
We just brought him flowers. And there was some nice cake they served us. It was a big Polish cream cake. I remember they walked around and gave us little pieces of cake.
Did the Pope wear a little party hat?
He had no birthday horns or hats or anything. He was just sitting there and he was enjoying people singing to him.
Did he blow the candle out on the cake? No.
They brought the cake to him. I can't remember if he blew it out or not.
I think that's bizarre you got invited. It's great. Here's another thing I got to ask. This is beyond seven deadly questions, so let's just pause on this for a moment. But you, earlier today we had Mass, okay?
Right.
So. You are the CEO of Salt and Light, the Catholic Media Foundation.
Our chapel's right in the middle of the studio.
So yeah, it's a TV thing, and then you got that chapel there, and you had Mass, and there are religious icons like you would find in any church.
Right.
In the little chapel. And there is a statue of John Paul II. Now, of course, he's Saint John Paul II,
right.
But it's not a tall statue. It's like a little, almost a doll.
Right.
Do you ever look at that and laugh? I'll tell you what I was thinking of at Mass today is... The closest church leader the church leader that I'm closest to would be Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, right?
The Pope of New York, yes.
If they canonized him in 10 years, and I was at Mass and I saw a little statue of Cardinal Dolan, I would always kind of laugh to myself.
Well, I don't think there'd be any little statues.
That's for sure. If I walked by a big statue of Cardinal Dolan... I would have to laugh. I would always go, I can't believe I knew that
guy. Did you see that chair I was sitting in, the presider's chair in the chapel?
I did.
That chair was in Pope John Paul II's apartment on Strawberry Island. And he sat in that chair during the week. He was with us every day for 3 hours and prayed before the Blessed Sacrament.
Really?
And the night of the Stations of the Cross in Toronto.
I got to go sit in that chair.
The night of the Stations of the Cross... The Pope watched the stations on television from Strawberry Island. From that chair, I got a great picture of him.
Well, I
got
to sit in. You're going to let me sit in that chair?
You can, but it's $50. Okay.
I don't care. $50. I'll put that on the Sirius XM tab.
But that chair is especially. We talk about the chair of Peter, and that's why we kept that chair. And the altar is the base of the altar of Downsview Park, where the World Youth Day Mass was. And the wall there was the top of the altar. So we preserved the memory, because Salt and Light Television was born on the wings of World Youth Day. And it really is the first fruit of the World Youth Day in this country.
I can't believe Father Tommy didn't tell me that was the chair.
I don't tell everything to everybody.
Well, you just did. And now I'm getting a picture in that chair.
Tomorrow.
And then you're going to show me a picture of John Paul II sitting in there.
I certainly will.
And I'm going to, I don't know, I'm going to Photoshop it or something. Yes, I'm going to do something. I'm going to put
tomorrow
the two
you
pictures.
Remind me, I got it in my office.
But so then do you ever look at, do you ever look at pictures of John Paul II and go, that's so weird. He knew my name. I mean, the big difference, of course, is I got to meet John Paul II once back in 1999. It was a great memory for me, probably not so much for him. And it's not like he remembered my name or anything. Do you ever look at a statue or a doll or a picture and go, think to yourself, boy, that is weird. He really knew me. He know it.
Yeah, many times, many times. I just simply quietly thank God.
That's bizarre. Right. It's the Catholic Guys Show here in Toronto, Ontario with Father Tom Rosica. It's our seven deadly questions. Let's go.
Deadly question number three.
All right. What is a bigger fashion faux pas for priests? A toupee or a ponytail?
Judge.
Just because you work for the Pope, you don't get off on that one.
I know priests with toupees and I know priests with ponytails. Not my cup of tea, but you know, if they're doing good work and they love the Lord and they're bringing people to the Lord, let
which
them do
is the
it.
There's a fashion faux pas here. Which is it? Which is the worst of the fashion faux pas?
Probably a ponytail.
I agree.
It would probably raise some unnecessary questions.
But now what about the toupee situation? I think a lot of people might be surprised. You just admitted you know toupee priests.
Toupee, touche. I mean, if you had a cover-up, sometimes, you know, it's better than wearing a zucchetto, so cover that spot and let the Lord remember that he's above you. Now, the glue you got to put on it to keep it down, that's a whole other thing. But, you know.
You don't think it's...
Chacun son goût, as they say in Quebec.
What do they say?
To each one his own taste.
But isn't it odd? Isn't it? It I mean, isn't there a bit of, listen, I'm not exactly the most humble person on earth. But even I know that it would be, it comes off as weird when priests would go on and say, well, we should have simplicity of life or we should have humility or whatever. And then they walk around with toupees. It's odd behavior.
It's different. But I don't know a lot of people who wear a card or a label saying, moi j'ai un toupee. You know, I have a toupee. They don't do that. If it's discreet, and let them wear it. I mean, are they doing good work? As you mentioned, a ponytail would be a little bit more, it gives one a pause, a moment for pause.
Right. Now, so you're saying if the toupee, what if it's a bad toupee? I guess this could have been a different way of
phrasing.
Then
you go back to the toupee artist and get the darn thing cut in the right way and get the glue put on it and stuff and make it blend in. I mean, it's important to have the same color as the hair that's left on your head.
Right, because when you say discreet, do we know bishops? Do we know archbishops? We know cardinals, men who have toupees?
I don't, because, you know, they got that thing with the hat, and pulling the zucchetto on and off could be very problematic, because you not only pull the hat, but you pull the head, too.
Wouldn't that be the greatest, as if a bishop or something took off his little hat, and the hair came right off with
it? All is possible.
Oh, that'd be all for the glory of God.
Yeah.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
Beautiful.
That would be tremendous.
Salt and Light will be there to catch it on film.
That's right, of course. Saltandlighttv.org.
That's right. Your Canada's Catholic television network, your channel of hope, broadcasting in English, French, Italian, Mandarin, and Cantonese.
And they're like the TMZ of the Catholic Church. They will be there if a man of the cloth, his toupee is removed. You guys will be there with your cameras.
We will be there, and we do relics, too.
Let's keep going, Father Tom Rosica. Seven deadly questions.
Deadly question number four.
What did you think would happen first? I would be getting married, or Jesus would return?
That's a very good question. I was more concerned with the parousia, the second coming of Christ, when I thought things going slowly for you.
Slowly is a kind way to say it.
Started entrusting you to other options, you know, as a monastery, a religious order, whatever. But fortunately, someone stepped in.
Do you think I should have been a priest? I find that always...
We talked about this last year when you were here.
Yes.
And I said, Lino, listen closely to what the big one's telling you, okay? And you certainly are doing priestly work. You're spending yourself for others gladly. You're telling the story of the Catholic Church, maybe not to everybody's cup of tea, but you've got a lot of people listening, and what more can we say?
All right. So were you surprised? Because you sent me a very funny email.
Yes.
When you heard I got engaged. Your email was very funny.
I needed to verify and confirm this so I can inform the Holy See.
Is the Pope happy? By the way, should I ask the Pope to do my wedding? The wedding's going to be at St. Peter's, you know.
Yes.
Does he get a lot of requests like this?
I'm sure he would. I'm not sure he'd do the wedding, but you might show up with your bride for one of those Wednesday audiences, and you get a special seat, and he'll come over and talk to you and give you some good counsel, I think.
What would you give as counsel if you were the Pope? If Father Tom Rosica, first of all, have you thought about being Pope? Is that something?
No.
Is that something you would like to do?
No, not in this lifetime.
Why wouldn't you want to be Pope?
Oh God,
it sounds like you
I've
work.
I've got more than enough work.
But you work for the Vatican already. You work for the Holy See press office.
We're here to make the Pope look good. Okay.
Wouldn't you like somebody? I think it'd be fun to be Pope.
I don't. It's public crucifixion. That's what's happening. We're watching somebody before our very eyes who's supposed to be retired and enjoying life, and. It's a marvel to behold, but I don't want it.
Really? Why wouldn't you want being Pope? Is Francis, by the way, you know him as well as anybody does. Is he enjoying being Pope?
If that's not enjoyment, I mean, that's pretty strange form of sadness.
He loves
He's
it.
Thrilled.
Right?
He's thrilled.
Now,
he's deeply happy. His name should be Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel in the flesh, as I told people.
He loves being Pope. Now, I didn't know him, of course. I didn't even really know much about him. Father Tom, you knew him as Cardinal Bergoglio.
I had met him twice or three times, but it's a whole different story.
And why do you think he enjoys being Pope so much more than...
Because he's free. He knows at that particular age, there's not a huge amount of time between now and paradise or heaven, and he's making the best of it. And it's funny because last year, I met some of the bishops from Argentina. He had already been Pope almost 2 years. And they knew me, and they came over to me, and they said, "What drugs did you guys give him in the Sistine Chapel?" I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "This is not him. This is not the same man we know. He was tired. He was looking forward to his retirement. He had already picked out the place he was going to retire and hear confessions and help people." And boom, March the 13th, 2013. And I tell people, this is the grace of the Holy Spirit. This was not some kind of a drug mixed in with that smoke, the Sistine Chapel. This is the grace of the Holy Spirit. And you can almost see it. There's some wonderful scenes when he came out of the Sistine Chapel, went over to the Pauline Chapel to pray before he went to the window for the appearance of the world. The cameras were on him. There's special cameras from Vatican TV. We've got that footage. And it's astounding. He's sitting there praying next to Cardinal Humes, and the Cardinal Vicar for Rome, his head is down. And then he raises his head and he walks decisively towards the window, and the rest is history. And I believe that's where the Holy Spirit kicks in full time. You know, one of my good friends is Sister Helen Prejean, the sister from Dead Man Walking. She told me when she came up here, I brought her up right after the movie when I was chaplain at U of T. And she said, "Honey, when you cooperate with Providence, Providence is going to cooperate big time with you."
Is that what she sounds like?
It's great. Southern. And it was so, she's so right. When you cooperate with Providence, Providence will cooperate with you.
Let me ask, Father Tom Rosica, you've told this story on this show before, but for those who haven't heard it, it's a great story, and I've never asked it in this way that I want to ask. First of all, tell the story of how you your interaction with then Cardinal Bergoglio the night before the conclave, the day before he became Pope. And I want to ask you afterwards how different he interacts and how different he is now, even for you personally.
I had seen him several times during the famous meetings of the cardinals that were taking place in the days leading up to the conclave. And he was there with black raincoat. It was raining all the time. It was cold. One day I walked right into him in Via Conciliazione. We exchanged some words. But it was
you mean you didn't curse at each other?
No.
You say you bumped into him. You're like, "Hey, get out of here, you jerk."
No, we were laughing in words. Italian and whatever. And then it was the Sunday night before the conclave. Sebastian Gomes, one of our producers, your buddy from St. John's and one of my right arms here, he and I had been out for pizza late on Sunday evening. We worked all day. We worked like dogs those days. And who do we run into just at the opening of Piazza Navona, the beginning? Was Cardinal Bergoglio. We had this wonderful exchange, laughing and carrying on, and we said some prayers, and he held my hands. He gave us a blessing. And I remember looking at his face, and I said something to the effect, "Are you nervous? Like, what's going to happen?" And just his look, this sheepish look on his face and whatever, and the rest is history. When I saw him 3 days after the election, he recalled it. He said, "Hey, we know each other."
He remembered. He was like...
Oh, yeah. I've seen him a couple of times, and he's remembered very well.
But now my question then really is, You say when you cooperate with Providence, Providence cooperates with you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. But obviously, the guy was a cardinal in the church. It's not that he wasn't cooperating with the Holy Spirit or with Providence before he was 76 years old.
77.
So what changed? Like, what? He was with the Holy Spirit. You assume he was praying and such before becoming Pope.
The difference with this conclave, as opposed to other conclaves, is there was no funeral. And because there was no funeral, when the guys got together for those 10 days or whatever to talk in the upper room, they laid all the cards on the table. These are the challenges. These are the issues. These are the things that require immediate attention. This is the direction of the church. In these places, the church is growing. In these places, the church is suffering. And he listened like all the rest of them, probably shaking in his boots, saying, God, keep that cup from me. But it was Friday, March the 7th, when he got up to speak. And he gave a marvelous address talking about evangelization, an incredible address. And he talked about the four points of evangelization, the sweet, comforting joy of evangelization. And he talked about a church that's bent over in itself. He didn't have any notes either. A church that too much focus. He said, you know, we often think of Jesus standing at the door knocking, expecting us to open the door. He says, our problem is we got Jesus inside and he wants to go out and we're keeping him inside. It was wonderful points. And I remember cardinals telling me afterwards, after he gave his little intervention, as they call it, on that Friday about 11:30 in the morning, people took notice. Who is that guy? They knew who he was. This is a pastor. His points were concise. They were succinct. They were honest. And I believe that would later become the platform. And he's referred many times back to the contents of that address and speaking about the church which must go out, the church which must be joyful, the church which can't stay cooped up in a room that smells, the church which can't be like, it can't be focused on itself like the bent over woman, the hunchback who can't rise up. This is a church that must go out.
But what? Here's the thing. I understand that. I guess the thing I don't get is, why is he so much happier saying those things as Pope today than he was four years ago as a cardinal?
He did say those things. Like, if you read his homilies and reflections, they're all being published now from Buenos Aires. He said those things. He was loved.
Oh.
He was truly loved, but he was tired.
I just missed that part.
And now it's remarkable. There's not a lot of new things, in a sense. What he's doing is bringing the richness and the beauty of his pastoral ministry in Buenos Aires and the experience of a parricida, and he's now offering that to the Universal Church.
It's the Catholic Guy Show with Father Tom Rosica. What did I say? Who knows Pope Francis better than this guy? And now we're doing seven deadly questions. More questions. Let's go.
Deadly question number five.
Oh, this is just an odd one. Star Wars or Star Trek? Because, you know, Comic-Con just happened. Everybody gets very excited about these things. Are you a Star Wars guy or a Star Trek guy?
A little bit more Star Wars.
I am too.
Yeah, Star Trek is a little goofy.
I don't understand the Star Trek thing, do you?
No, it was a whole culture. I mean, Leonard Nimoy and all the rest of it was kind of odd. A lot of my friends liked it, but I didn't watch that.
Me either.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we watched the Brady Bunch and we watched Leave It to Beaver and all kinds of other things. So it kind of gives away my age.
But I'm with you. Now, are you excited about the people losing their minds about this new Star Wars that's coming out, you know?
Oh, I know. It's incredible. People are asking if we're going to air it. And I said, no, we have other stars that we feature.
All right. Let's see. I thought that one would get us right out of the way. Let's keep going then.
Deadly question number six.
What's the difference, the biggest difference between Canadians and Americans? I mean, we're up here in Canada.
Eh?
Eh? We're in Toronto, Ontario, eh? What's the biggest difference between us?
I was born in the United States.
I know.
And though I have Canadian citizenship, dual citizenship, and I feel much more comfortable in this culture. I've been here now most of my life. There are a couple differences, many similarities. People would say, oh, y'all speak English. Well, that's negotiable. But I think one of the things is there's a certain a shyness and calmness about Canada. And there's a politeness, even to an extreme in Canada. United States folks, wonderful as they are, as we are, sometimes we're in your face. We're in everybody's face. And one other challenge I see in Canada, I've noticed this lately, because much of our system in Canada, healthcare system, school system, is government funded. We don't have the same burdens and challenges that you would have in the United States, for example, for Catholic schools and whatever. that's both a blessing and a burden. The blessing is, sure, we don't have, I never see a bill when I go to the doctor. I never see a bill for different things. We go to Catholic schools free, that we pay taxes and whatever. But in Canada, the negative side would be there's a great sense of entitlement. And a sense of entitlement is not necessarily a positive thing.
No.
Because it's very hard to have people take responsibility. One of the huge blessings of the American church and the American people is the spirit of volunteerism, the spirit of making things work, the Catholic hospitals, the Catholic schools, the Catholic projects, the Catholic charities. There's a sense of ownership. And I rarely experience that sense of entitlement in the States as I've experienced here. For example, trying to run a Catholic project here, what do you often hear? Well, let the Pope pay, let the bishops pay, let the priests pay, let so-and-so pay. And there are generous people in Canada. But that deep-seated attitude doesn't necessarily help people to become mature and take responsibility for the church and for our own projects.
So you heard it, Canadians. Get with the program.
That's right. And support Salt and Light, please.
There you go. He's the CEO of Salt and Light Catholic Media Foundation. Saltandlighttv.org is the website. He's also the English language assistant to the Holy See Press Office.
Holy.
That means he works for the Vatican. And we got one more of our seven deadly questions.
Oh,
let's
God.
Go. Let's
oh,
do it. Let's oh. do it.
Deadly question number seven.
All right. Now, I don't know if you're really going to answer this question. Now, you can't put the political hat on, okay?
All right.
You've known a lot of popes, personally. Who's your favorite pope?
I don't have a favorite one, I must admit.
Come on, everybody, if you have kids, you got a favorite kid.
No,
you got
no,
say, you got favorite brothers or sisters, everybody.
Here's the point. In my lifetime, born in 1959.
Congratulations.
When John the 23rd convened the Second Vatican, he got the brainstorm to call it. I consider myself blessed to have grown up with incredible shepherds in each of them. This is the way I look at it. I remember telling Anderson Cooper this and Wolf Blitzer the night of the election.
By the way, what's the deal with Wolf Blitzer's beard? I mean, you're on that CNN a lot. It's just odd, right?
Hey, I don't get into that. Who am I to judge?
Who are you to judge? I'm judging his beard.
I told those guys that night because they said to me, Father, what did you just experience in St. Peter's Square? Like, this was incredible. The whole world running there in that freezing cold and the bird sitting on the chimney and everything else. And I don't know how it came out, but I simply said, tonight what I saw in that appearance of this incredible man from the ends of the earth, Francis, I saw flash before my eyes the great paternity and smile of John the 23rd. I saw the beauty and the finesse and the kindness of Paul the 6th. These are the popes of my lifetime. I saw the smile of John Paul the 1st, the meteor, 33 days. I saw those arms open wide and that boldness and courage, and do not be afraid of John Paul the 2nd. I saw wonderful crystal clear teaching in those few moments that Francis appeared that night of Benedict the 16th. All of that wrapped up in this package. And I'm not saying this to be pious, but when we talk about the apostolic succession in our tradition, what it simply means is that God is never going to leave us in a mess, shipwrecked. And certainly my experience in the church of my 56 years and 29 years of priesthood and 30 years of religious life, consecrated life, is there have been no shipwrecks in terms of the liturgy, in terms of the church, because the Lord placed some great helmsmen in those boats, in that boat of the church.
He didn't answer the question. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite? You got everybody's
going to
have a favorite.
I love John the 23rd.
Hey, let me say it like this.
I love John Paul the second.
Let me see if this is too controversial.
All right.
You knew John Paul the second so well. He probably, in your mind, was always going to be your favorite pope.
No.
What?
We're not here. Like, I'm not,
what?
You know, you got this bunch of people today saying, I'm a priest of Benedict, I'm a priest of this one. Well, they did that in a new time. I'm a priest, I'm from Paul, I'm from Apollos, I'm from this one. That's not the church. The gifts given to us at that moment, we celebrate. And I firmly believe that.
But you can have a favorite. You can have a favorite saint. Who's your favorite saint? Father Tom's favorite saint is who?
I've got about 10.
Okay, give me your top 10 saints.
Okay, so right now, the top 10 would be Peter.
Good.
Thomas the Apostle.
Fair.
Matthew the Evangelist.
Fair enough.
Joseph of Nazareth.
Like him.
St. John Amola. John Beretta Mola.
Not so familiar.
Wonderful woman doctor. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Saint Andre Bessette from Montreal, Brother Andre from Montreal. Those are the ones
you're starting
I pray
to lose
to
me
all
here.
The time. No, those are the ones I pray to, and then I got three more.
All right, now, you just named favorite saints, and that was you didn't offend Saint Bartholomew. He's not sitting there crying
but
in
these
his
are
soup.
The ones that I bug the most. Okay,
so that's why I say you can have favorite saints.
Yeah,
why couldn't you have a favorite pope?
Popes.
Why couldn't you have
these
a favorite pope?
No, I won't go that way.
Who's your least favorite pope?
I won't go that
Who's
way.
Your least favorite?
Oh, there's some in history that weren't exactly the most Catholic, But anyway, we've been pretty blessed in your lifetime and my lifetime.
I think it's the greatest time to be... okay, how about this? This is the coolest time ever to be Catholic.
This is big time to be Catholic. I've had many friends call me, Jewish friends, Muslim friends, and people with nothing at all, and they say... This is the best run for the money to be Catholic. This is incredible.
I agree. We got two popes. When's the last time? When are you going to have two popes? This is a good time.
Yeah.
We got two popes. We got a Francis who's just crazy popular, right?
Yeah.
This
but
is
it's
a
more
good
than
time.
Popular. It's not about popularity, these things. It's more than popular. This is somebody who's speaking cor ad cor loquitur. Somebody who's speaking to people's hearts. And I believe people are making big decisions. I know. People are making big decisions in their lives right now because of what Francis is doing. And people have asked me, what do you notice as a priest? Have you noticed anything significant since Francis has been Pope? And I stop and I say, yeah, there's one thing that's been very consistent. As a priest, I hear lots of confessions and lately hearing confessions all over the place, on the bus, on the plane. I don't like it on the plane, too. I can't go in the bathroom or anything, but people see me dressed up and they can I go to confession? And I often ask people, especially when they say, I've been away for so long. I always say at the end, they're not breaking the seal. I say, what brought you back? And since March of 2013, I have heard a couple hundred times, no exaggeration, the Pope. I've never heard that from people beforehand. Usually they say the Pope kept me away from confession. But I say, what about the Pope? The day he picked up that person with the broken face, the embrace, what he did in the Philippines when he cried with that young girl, what he did this, the poor, when he brought street people in for his birthday breakfast. I said, and that's what brought you to confession? They say, yes, and I'm back. They say, I'm back. That, for me, is the grace of God. The cardinals chose wisely.
By the way, Father Tom Rosica, has there ever been a better time to be homeless? I say no. I'm not kidding around. I mean, this is the time. Has there ever been a better time to be homeless or in prison?
Yeah.
This Pope loves visiting the prisoners.
And he did a great job this past week. He went to the worst possible prison in Bolivia. It was incredible.
By the way, what's the best prison in Bolivia? I mean, no offense, but I have a feeling that one's not so hot either.
Maximum security, and to see him with thousands of people. And what he told them in Bolivia last week was amazing. He said, the one standing before you is this big sinner. You know, imagine the connection with all of this. He's got a way of connecting. When he identified himself, when they did the Jesuit interviews with the magazine, Civiltà Cattolica and America magazine, who are you? I'm a sinner whom the Lord looked upon.
By the way, now I don't want to call the Pope out on this, but now Father Tom Rosica knows as well as anybody. 4 years ago now, I wrote a book called Sinner.
And we featured it, and it's in my office, and you signed it, and I kiss it all the time.
Thank you very much. Available at Amazon.com or wherever fine books are sold.
And I love the candle.
And then when Pope Francis did this interview and they said, who are you? And he said, I'm a sinner. I thought to myself, this guy's stealing my material.
He did.
That's all my good stuff.
Yeah, and they give it out to people in Rome, too.
Yeah, sure. What he said to the prisoners in Bolivia last week was the person that's standing in front of you is a sinner.
Right.
And that means he wasn't there just to love them or forgive them or to show them mercy. He was saying, look, guys, or it was a men's, was it a men's prison?
Yeah, but there were women there, their wives and the kids and everything else. It was pretty remarkable stuff.
And so I know people think that I'm being flip here. There's never been a better time to be a prisoner. When Pope Francis comes to America, now I'm not encouraging listeners of the Catholic Guy Show to get into legal trouble so that they can meet the Pope. You got a better chance nowadays to meet the Pope if you're a homeless or you're a prisoner than if you're like just some pious or wealthy Catholic. And Father Tom, in a way, isn't that the way the church should be?
That's right.
That's a great thing.
The last shall be first.
I mean, this Pope, he's constantly the homeless outside of St. Peter's. They're getting haircuts. They're getting showers. They're having breakfasts and meals with him.
It's high time.
It's high time. But I'm telling you, if this show goes away, I'm going homeless. I gotta hang with the Pope. We're going to take a break. When we return, why don't we talk a little bit about what he did in South America, okay? And so you'll know, I hope. You know, I don't know what he did.
Oh, yeah. I followed every minute of it.
I know. He's the CEO of Salt and Light Catholic Media Foundation. 24 hours Catholic television. saltandlighttv.org is that website. The English language assistant of the Holy See Press Office. So like I say, he'll know exactly what the Pope did in South America. So we'll talk about that and more. It's the Catholic Guy Show in Toronto, Ontario with Father Tom Rosica back after this.
We'll be right back as Lino broadcasts from Canada all this week.